On the path towards self-mastery, why is it that compassion is one of the most important characteristics to have as a core part of a personality? And why, contrary to popular belief, is it far better to have compassion as opposed to control? Hello, and welcome back to Stoic Spirituality, a podcast where I look through, dissect, and analyze various thoughts, quotes, and books that I've read over the last few years. My name is Jagan, and I'm a student of the human experience, trying to spread some knowledge out to the rest of the world. And so over these last few episodes, we've really gone down this journey of self-mastery, using the first few episodes as springboards as to our ego and how our ego can have a negative impact on how we live our lives, may it be through flattery, may it be through incessant talking, may it be through this seeking of status or power. Ego has a debilitating condition on how we should move forward with our life. And it doesn't really do anything except for causing negatives for us in the long run. Making the difference between pride and ego has been some of the key highlights of these last few episodes. And so now through this episode, you kind of want to flip it on the other end and talk more about self-mastery through the lens of compassion. And mastering ourselves is a really important preconception to kind of dissect and illustrate. Self-mastery, as the words imply, is mastery of oneself. And one kind of misconception people see in this idea of quote-unquote mastery or self-mastery is that they must control everything around them. That mastery of oneself means that every single thing that happens around you must be via your calculation and must be well partitioned and well kind of predicted in everything that you do. And that is the essence of the opposite of self-mastery. That is called control and power seeking. Self-mastery has to do with knowledge of oneself and understanding that certain events that happen in our life are not within our control, and being ready to surrender and adjust accordingly. Control and power has to do with trying to influence, change, or modify the outcomes of everything around you except for that of yourself. And while having self-mastery will eventually allow you to put pieces in the right place and move things forward, people confuse the two to think that self-mastery is mastering everyone around yourself, when truly it is simply mastering ourselves, mastering the inner self, the thoughts that come in your head every single day. And so mastering ourselves means choosing empathy over control, transforming these challenges and these knockdowns we have into opportunities to continue climbing the mountain that is our journey in regular life. And so through this episode, I want to explore how disciplined service and how the Stoics speak about how spiritual clarity and overall disciplined mindsets can guide us toward compassionate self-mastery. And so first, we're going to start off with some barriers to this compassion mastery, because mastering compassion requires overcoming inner barriers that disrupt inner peace. May it be stimuli or thoughts, incessant thoughts in our head that come from anxiety, or may it be attachment to outcomes or fear of vulnerability, or the drive for dominance that we just discussed a few seconds ago, that lock us in this power-based control grip, not allowing us to actually seek self-mastery and instead seek control of those around us. And so let's start off with some attachment to outcomes discussion. So attachment to outcomes, as the Bhagavad Gita says, will never get you in a positive mindset, because you're so focused on something you have no control over that you create this tension within yourself that pulls you from this present moment and causes you to incessantly worry about the future, what it could entail, and lose track of the true connection in the present moment, and undermines this kind of calm that you require for stillness and eventually empathy. For instance, say you flip a coin. What this kind of attachment to outcome means is that you are so focused on waiting for heads when you inherently know that you virtually have no control over this outcome, and you have so much anxiety over it, is the basis of this attachment to outcomes piece. If you had a six-sided die and you throw it in the air and you roll it down a hill and you know it's going to land with one face up, being so anxious about the die face showing a 5 specifically is the same basis of this attachment to outcome conundrum we find ourselves in. Obviously, it's not as black and white or simplistic as that, but a majority of the time, what this means is that we have in our control the ability to roll the dice, to flip the coin. After that, everything else is kind of up in the air, quote unquote. However, what we like to do is we like to control that this dice roll is going to have exactly 7 flips to the left, 8 flips to the right, and 13 diagonal flips as well, which in any rational lens is not something that is viably controllable. And when we can cling to this kind of control, this control of wanting to control or have power over everything around us, we resist life's natural flow. We think that we can be the tree that doesn't bend to the harsh winds, and in the end, it's not that the tree is going to stand by itself, it's just that it's going to be uprooted. When you look at trees like palm trees or similar trees that bend to the wind, there's no better analogy to show the surrender of life that we must have in order to ensure that we don't end up like the oak tree that refused to bend and got its roots uprooted with one strong gale or blast. And this resistance to life's natural flow that control clinging does fosters not more confidence in ourselves, but rather more unrest in ourselves. The steady mind, the equanimity that gets us where we are and keeps us grounded to the world around us is now gone, replaced with this kind of calcified control we need to have and this false sense of power we need to have that's not going to serve anyone at all. And so on the other side of this clinging to control is the idea of the fear of vulnerability, because the control clinging and the fear of vulnerability are two sides of the same coin, because we try to control everything around us because we do not want anything we're not aware of to happen, or we are not ready to be put in a situation we haven't completely thought out 100%. And that's the fear of vulnerability. And this fear of vulnerability and this clinging to control kind of dichotomizes and drives manipulation that causes to sacrifice people's trust and causes to sacrifice our own mental sanity for this false sense of power. And what this ends up doing is not only are you constantly thinking about what's going to happen next and not being able to live in the present moment, you also hinder collaborative growth because you want to be the one in charge. You want to be the one in control. You want to be the one that holds the final say in everything. And this false sense of control you get and this false sense of power will disintegrate before your very eyes if you find someone who's willing to bend enough to show you for who you actually are. And this need for dominance, which goes back to this idea of self-mastery versus mastery of others, this need for dominance prioritizes the self over others. And what ends up happening when you start kind of trying to dominate everything around you is that your care for the community and your connections that you actually have end up disintegrating for the sake of the little piece of control or happiness you'll get from when one person does something because you forehold it to be as such. And you may kind of see the inner, or rather the lower layer to all of this, which ends up being ego and pride, is that our insecurities, our ego, our need for dominance, our unwillingness to be vulnerable causes us to hesitate to act, to be unwilling to act selflessly. And this insecurity kind of decreases our courage, puts in our minds a fear of failure, doesn't allow us to take the next step in any sort of friendship or relationship we have, and blocks this bold empathy that ends up transforming relationships to be far better. For example, imagine you wanted to control every single outcome in every single friendship and ensure that everything flowed to your kind of beat or rhythm. And say you kind of accidentally meet maybe 2 friends in the same place who've never met before and don't know about the other person's presence. Your need for dominance and your need for control will kind of cause you to deflect away from one friend and be unable to kind of act vulnerably and talk to them equally. This need for dominance, where you kind of present one persona of yourself to each person, and then being afraid of that persona leaking out, causing insecurity, causing people to get worried or kind of move away from you will cause you this hesitation, this fear of failure, this feel of this willingness to and want to kind of control everything. And it'll end up with you being the oak tree being uprooted when your two friends kind of see you buffering in real life because of all of your fights to maintain dominance and control and ego. And so this lies in with laws of power of concealing intentions. Concealing intentions to maintain control disrupts your integrity and honor and limits the openness needed for meaningful bonds and causes you to end up in the state where you're constantly trying to tell people specific things and then tell other people other things and leave people with just enough information to go and process, and causes a lot of mental stress inside of you to even know what you're saying to one person and then watch out what you're saying to the other person. And inevitably, you're going to make mistakes and it'll just cause more and more mental stress, like a nice positive feedback loop. And so kind of tying everything back together, instead of providing a few sparse points, what the purpose of this discussion on mastering compassion is that we have our ego that stands in a way for all of our empathy and compassion that we want to generate in order to seek self-mastery. Contrary to popular belief, control does not create self-mastery. Control creates laws of power inside of you. And so self-mastery is about taking all these barriers we discussed, may it be attachment to outcome, clinging to control, a fear of vulnerability, a requirement for dominance, a hesitation to act selflessly, fear of failure, insecurities, and even deflecting responsibility with inconsistent discipline, are all barriers that lie in the path of self-mastery, because these are all kind of materialistic, outcome-based, attachment-based facets of our life that only give us a false sense of power and a false sense of control, all of which disintegrates as soon as you leave a specific situation or a specific like place or a specific friend. And so looking at these barriers, mastering these barriers, understanding what they are, is the first step toward compassion and empathy, two core facets to self-mastery. Because self-mastery is not about having every single thing lined up. It's about having an understanding of who you want to be as a person, working toward it with deliberate practice, but also surrendering, and most importantly, surrendering to the world around you and the many things you cannot control. And so this ties into the second part of this episode, which is mastering compassion through connection. Because mastering compassion transforms challenges into opportunities for connection. And this aligns with Stoic principles, spiritual beliefs, and the very core idea that we must accept that we cannot control majority of our lives. We cannot control the events that happen in our lives. What we can control is how we respond to said events. So this ties in with mountain climbing as one of my favorite analogies. Staring at a mountain and looking at the obstacle is not going to take you one step toward climbing that mountain, but accepting that obstacle is an opportunity and taking that first step to climb the mountain not only fosters the journey, but also fosters compassion. It enables your service with a steady mind that is free from the dominance that control seeks to have at any point in time. And contrary to what we may think, that self-mastery is always us plugging ourselves up into a hole and then just reading for hours on end, or specifically working our body to do something that is only beneficial for us, discipline service to the community does cultivate this inner peace and does cultivate paths towards self-mastery, because you are doing something that is selfless, that benefits not you, but those around you. And you channel that effort into empathetic action that strengthens bonds. Because boldly acting for others' good in uncertainty not only builds empathy and compassion, but it also builds courage, because it turns vulnerability of others into connection and eventually builds up a kind of empathetic base, all leading towards surrendering and self-mastery. And so not only does this tie to the kind of good we can do for others, but it also comes back to selfless service enables us to stay more in the present moment. Because we're working for the benefit of others. We're not working to kind of fulfill our plans or kind of lie our heads in the past and feel fear or anxiety. But serving others opens us to the idea of empathy, aligning our actions with the shared humanity, freeing us from any future outcomes that could or could not happen. Because this serving of humanity is kind of a closed box event that happens where you're present, you're providing service to others who require it, need it, or would like it. And you work toward making this world a better place. And there's no better place to stay in the present than in such moments. Because you're not working to kind of build up another skill inside of yourself, but you're rather working to serve the community and make it a better place 1% at a time. And so we've discussed the idea of how barriers can bring us down, and disciplined service and presence can kind of tip the scales in the opposite direction, where we start prioritizing empathy on our journey toward self-mastery. And so this does not mean that we must like take a hammer and throw empathy at people. But it's also, on this journey towards self-mastery, it's a bit of strategic empathy, where if you're in a situation, maybe in your workplace or elsewhere, where there's conflict amongst 2 to 3 different parties, what you can do is simply being empathetic and being open to other people's perspectives and being vulnerable with yours and allowing them to be vulnerable with theirs will end up disarming this conflict. Ego and control will seek to be the loudest voice in the room to dominate the conversation and to ensure that their voice is heard more than everyone else's. But as we discussed before, when we were made, we were given 2 ears and 1 mouth. Why do we want to use the 1 mouth more than the 2 ears? And so strategic empathy, which entails listening more than speaking, fosters this flexibility, fosters this disarming of conflict, and creates a more solidified set of calm amongst all arguing parties that outmaneuvers the rigidity and calcification that control has. Compassion transforms suffering and conflict into joy and grounds us in the duty to uplift others and to ensure that there is a best solution, putting everyone's eyes on the true goal of everything that is being done with clarity and truth. Mindful connection aligns actions with inner truth. It surrenders control to thrive in unity. Control seeks to calcify every single structure the way it is and not take in new ideas or new purposes or new thoughts or processes. Resilience through empathy endures these challenges, fights for the bigger picture at hand, and strengthens your relationships with steadfast care. And this clarity and compassion in action will focus your effort, will not make you spend so much time in the past or future, or clinging to insecure ideals, or this necessity for dominance with fear of vulnerability, but will rather ensure that all that you do will be for the greater good, and will be based on the concepts of listening more and speaking less, all toward the journey of self-mastery. Because when you allow yourself to let go of these preconceptions, let go of the necessity to control every single outcome, and rather prioritize flexibility, surrendering, and simply letting go again, you take that first step toward focusing on what's important and essential in your life, working and giving yourself time to prioritize those, but also stay disciplined to the actions and needs of others instead of only those of your own. Self-mastery is not the journey toward mastering every single facet of yourself and those around you. It's the journey toward mastering yourself and providing service to those around you. Because contrary to belief, when you provide service to others, you gain inner peace, which boosts your overall journey towards self-mastery. Trying to seek control over others only fosters insecurity inside of your own self and causes you to worry more about everyone else's problems and let them live rent-free in your head, which is not something that cultivates beneficial qualities for your betterment. And so the question you want to ask yourself is, think of a moment you chose compassion over control. Think of a moment where you let go of preconceptions and this necessity to have everything in your hand and instead surrender to the flow of life. You would have found that, contrary to what a rational mind may think, this gave you more confidence in your abilities and cultivated a better path towards self-mastery. I myself have done this sometimes where I just listen to people around me instead of trying to provide solutions, fix them, and give everything. And maybe ask yourself, next time you seek control, maybe act with empathy. And ask yourself what you could actually build. Because compassion, empathy, are all strengths that build the mountain towards self-mastery. And so, before we end this episode, a few actionable steps to kind of work our way toward building compassion and empathy, as opposed to seeking to control. Number one, embrace acceptance. May it be via journaling or simply on your drive back from wherever you're going. Think of a situation you have no control over and reflect on it and how you can approach it with principles we've talked about in this episode around empathy, surrender, and letting go. Understand your clear purpose is kind of actionable step number two. Look at what you really want to accomplish in 5, 10, 15, 20 years and tune your journey towards self-mastery with that in mind. Because all of these control games, these dominance games, something you may have noticed that these are daily or weekly or potentially even like at the maximum extent monthly based games. We're trying to control everything in our lives. But when we think of the scale of years or decades, when we're going to be in potentially new jobs or new positions or new with the new people around us, these power dominance games really were nothing in the end. So think of your purpose in terms of decades, and these momentary seeks to control will disappear like snow on a summer day. And then practice or find yourselves putting yourself in situations where you can practice discipline empathy, where you can commit to daily reflection on other people's needs or weekly reflection even. Understand what those around you would need and work from there. A lot of us try to impose what we think people need onto them instead of working backward from what they need and we should provide to them. And simply reflect on these connections and you will find yourself helping others and using that as your own fuel to your own journey as well. So through this episode, we've overcome and talked about overcoming barriers to compassion, which are based in attachment, fear of vulnerability, and a few other kind of concepts. And we've also discussed how we can work our way to cultivating and surrendering to obstacles around us in order to fight for this journey of self-mastery, and how disciplined service, contrary to popular belief, does have a more positive impact on our journey toward inner peace than we may presume or consider. Thanks for listening to this episode on the idea of compassion over control and how we can work to building more sustainable habits and thoughts and processes to ensure that we follow this journey toward true compassion and empathy. If you'd like to hear more content, feel free to drop me a follow at Stoic Spirituality on whichever platform you're listening to this podcast on. If you'd like to hear little clips or sound bites from my podcast, feel free to drop me a follow at Stoic Spirituality on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening, and see you guys next time.